The great physician came to seek us out and to save us. Now, tax collectors in this day were Jews who had collaborated with Rome. They were corrupt. They made a good living by charging as much as they could. That's why you see it all through Luke and all through Matthew and Mark and John, by the way, too. The marvel that Jesus would spend time with tax collectors, sinners. Well, that's the scene we've got here. He sees a tax collector. He was sitting in the tax office, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me."
Welcome to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Today we'll be turning to chapter 5 in the Gospel of Luke. Pastor Scott brings a message titled, "Dr. Jesus Makes a House Call." We invite you to follow along with us now as we get started.
Who is like the Lord our God? Who is enthroned on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth? He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. He makes the barren woman abide in the house as a joyful mother of children. Praise the Lord. Don't you love that? If you know the Lord, you say, yes, amen, praise the Lord. Well, I'd like you to take your bulletin, if you've got one, the program, and our text isn't in the Psalms, it's in Luke. And so today, we want to look at this short text that I entitled, "Dr. Jesus Makes a House Call." And it might surprise you that our text isn't talking about a healing, although it is surrounded by healings. When our Lord was here, he met people with needs, real needs, just like us today. And he met those needs, and he met physical needs, and he healed many. And so before we actually look at the text, I didn't dare put it all that I could have. I'd love it, but I know, you know, I've been coming to these all week or all summer, and every week I think, should I lug my Bible or not? Should I just use my phone or whatever? And so you've got the text here, but I'm going to give you just a little bit of context, because right ahead of this text, I read, "While the sun was setting, all who had any sick with various diseases brought them to him, and laying his hands on every one of them, he was healing them." And then after this text in Luke chapter 5, because we're going to be just looking at that paragraph in Luke 5, but that's Luke 4. Here's Luke 6, verse 19. Or I'll start with 17. "He descended with them and stood on a level place, and there was a great multitude of his followers and a great throng of people from all Judea and Jerusalem and the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon who had come to hear him and to be healed of their diseases. And those who were troubled with unclean spirits were being cured, and all the multitude were trying to touch him, for power was coming from him and healing them all." Of all the designations of Jesus, and I love so many of them, he's our Savior. He's the Lamb of God. He's the friend of sinners. We could list so many, but one of my favorites is the Great Physician. The Great Physician. Now, you have, as I said, just that little paragraph, and that's our text today, but I want to even give you a little more context, and just within Luke 5, because, you know, the Bible's broken into chapters, and it's always good to kind of see where it's at. It's not just a book of quotes. It's meant to be understood, and Luke is developing a theme as he writes this gospel. This is the third book in the New Testament, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. So Luke 5 begins this way. And I'll just give us just this much context. It came about that while the multitude were pressing around him and listening to the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. There was a great multitude. They were coming and being healed. They were coming and listening to the word of God. And this is the scene at the first 10, 12 verses of this chapter where Peter is out in the boat and he's fished all night and didn't catch anything. And there's that miraculous catch of fish that Jesus accomplishes for him. And Peter says, as he recognizes who he's dealing with, "Depart from me. I'm a sinful man." And then, right on the heels of that, Dr. Luke, and he was a doctor. We could call him Dr. Luke, just like I referred to Jesus as Dr. Jesus. Luke was an MD, and he traveled with Paul, and he was a zealous follower of Jesus Christ. But you hear his medical terminology from time to time as he deals with certain things. But I want to just read what context, because Jesus is encountering not just the man we're going to watch in our text, Levi, called Matthew, but he's encountering lots of different people. And the Bible records these scenes for our instruction. He's encountering people with needs, dire needs. And I know, as I look around and as I look at my own life, I have needs. You have needs. Dire needs. Well, let me just read this and you just listen. Just kind of sit back, enjoy the sun. And aren't you glad it's beating on your back instead of your face? That's why I'm wearing these. And I put them on this morning and I thought, I never realized how scratched they are. But I can still see better out of these than if I went without them. But just sit here and enjoy the Lord's sunshine and watch Jesus among people. It came about that while he was in one of the cities, behold, there was a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and implored him, saying, "Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." And he stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, "I am willing, be cleansed." And immediately the leprosy left him. And he ordered him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, just as Moses commanded, for a testimony to them. But the news about him was spreading even farther, and great multitudes were gathering to hear him and to be healed of their sicknesses. But he himself would often slip away to the wilderness and pray. And it came about that one day he was teaching, and there were some Pharisees and teachers of the law sitting there who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem, and the power of the Lord was present for him to perform healing. And behold, some men were carrying on a bed a man who was paralyzed, and they were trying to bring him in and to set him down in front of him. And not finding any way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down through the tiles with his stretcher right in the center in front of Jesus. And seeing their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven you." The scribes and the Pharisees began to reason, saying, "Who is this man who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone?" But Jesus, aware of their reasonings, answered and said to them, "Why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, 'Your sins have been forgiven,' or to say, 'Rise and walk'? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins," He said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home. And at once he rose up before them and took up what he'd been lying on and went home, glorifying God. And they were all seized with astonishment and began glorifying God. And they were filled with fear, saying, we have seen remarkable things today. Now, Luke, his whole theme, he gives it in a succinct statement up in chapter 19. The Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. And I picked this passage and I read the context around it for a reason. We today are gathered to listen to the very word of God. That was the setting in Luke 5. They gathered, large group like this, gathered to listen, to hear the word of God. And we are people with needs, just like these people. Dire needs. I mean, this leper, leprosy. We don't fully understand leprosy in Jesus' days, in biblical times, but whatever it was devastating. You could think Ebola. Right now, one of our friends in Africa is unable to go into the Congo because there's an Ebola outbreak. And I remember reading of a missionary medical doctor who ended up getting Ebola when he was serving those with Ebola. And leprosy, when you hear that word, you can think of Ebola or AIDS. But it was terminal. There was no solution. And this man, Dr. Luke, tells us with his medical eye, he says, it wasn't just a slight case. You know, I think he's got leprosy. Check. We'll watch if that develops. He was covered with leprosy. It was the latter stages. Hospice was there, only they didn't have hospice. And in fact, it was a lonely death to be filled with leprosy. And he said, Jesus, if you're willing, I know you could heal me. You're able. I wonder, are you willing? And Jesus responds, I am willing. Be cleansed. And immediately he was cleansed. And then this paralytic, the next scene, they let this guy down. He's paralyzed. We don't know. Was it a skiing accident? Probably diving. Maybe a bike. Maybe a car. Maybe he was a construction worker and fell off. We don't know, but I'll tell you one thing. I meet very few people who don't fear paralysis. This man was dependent completely on his friends. I mean, lowering him down in front of Jesus. And then I noticed Jesus addressed his deepest need first. Seeing his faith, he said, your sins are forgiven. And he was criticized. Jesus was. Regularly, by the way. But he was criticized in this scene. What is it? Who can forgive sins but God alone? This is blasphemous for him to say that. And then I read, Jesus was aware of what they were saying in their hearts. And he said, why are you reasoning in your hearts? Which is easier to say, your sins have been forgiven you, or rise and walk? But in order that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he said to the paralytic, I say to you, rise, take up your stretcher, and go home. Only God can forgive sins. Yeah. In order that you might know that the Son of Man, and this was Jesus' favorite self-designation in the sense of he used this self-designation more than any other title. He called himself Son of God. He called himself many other things, but mostly he would say Son of Man as he described himself. And it was from the Old Testament. It was a term of deity. It was a term of Messiah, but he's saying point blank, in order that you might know who the Son of Man is and that I have authority to forgive sins, I'll tell you what, take up your bed and walk. And this guy who was helpless and had been carried in on a bed, carried his own bed out. What an amazing scene. And everybody was seized with astonishment. And they began glorifying God, and they were filled with fear, saying, "We have seen remarkable things today." Jesus came to not merely meet our physical needs. He is the great physician, and he does make house calls. And in this scene in Luke 4, 5, 6, you see multiple places where he would go right to their house or he would go seek them out. But he came ultimately to meet our deepest need. And their statement is the statement that leads to our text. We have seen remarkable things today. Now, how far will Jesus go? I'm talking about you now and me to meet our needs. How low will he stoop? Well, Luke begins this gospel early in chapter 4, when Jesus first started to speak. Here's what Jesus said: "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He sent me to proclaim release to the captives, recovery of sight to the blind, to set free those who are downtrodden." And he read that out of Isaiah and then said, "Today this has been fulfilled in your hearing. I came for the downtrodden, the poor, the blind, the oppressed, the weak." And you know what their response was? They hated him for it. We're not poor. We're not blind. We're not oppressed. And they tried to kill him in his own hometown. Well, that's a little bit of context. But I ask it again. How low will Jesus go? How low will he stoop? And I'm going to refer back to Psalm 113. Maybe you didn't catch it when we were just kind of enjoying praise the Lord from the rising of the sun to its settings, you know. Listen to this. "From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised. The Lord is high above all nations. His glory is above the heavens. Who is like the Lord our God, who's enthroned on high? Who humbles himself to behold the things that are in heaven and in the earth. He, the high and mighty one, stoops to behold what's in heaven." To see to look into space, he's looking down and stooping, and he's definitely stooping. And like this, to look into you and I, our lives, he will. You say, well, would he stoop to a leper? Yes. A paralyzed man? Yes. What about a tax collector? A tax collector brought it on himself. It's not like he was a victim of an accident or just the way sometimes disease just ravages our lives. A tax collector. Would he stoop there? Let's listen to our text now. Verse 27. Look at it in the program you have. After that, when everybody was saying, wow, we've seen remarkable things. After that, he went out and noticed a tax collector named Levi sitting in the tax office. And he said to him, "Follow me." And he left everything behind and rose up and began to follow him. And Levi gave a big reception for him in his house. And there was a great crowd of tax gatherers and other people who were reclining at table with them. And the Pharisees and their scribes began grumbling at his disciples, saying, "Why do you eat and drink with tax collectors and sinners?" And Jesus answered and said to them, "It is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick. I have not come to call righteous men, but sinners to repentance." How low will he go? A tax collector? The great physician came to seek us out and to save us. Now, when we hear that word tax collector, he was walking and he saw this tax collector in the little tax booth, the little tax office. And we might think, yeah, tax collectors are never very, you know, if you work for the IRS, it's probably not your, you probably don't lead with your business card, right? I mean, who wants to deal with a tax collector? But it was much more than that. Tax collectors in this day were Jews who had collaborated with Rome. They were sellouts. They were corrupt. They made a good living by charging as much as they could. They got what Rome wanted and whatever they could get on top of it. They were corrupt. They were dishonest. They were despicable. They were brutal. They were like extortionists. And they had the power of Rome behind them, Gentile power. And in the Jewish culture, a tax collector was a little bit lower than a prostitute. That's why you see it all through Luke and all through Matthew and Mark and John, by the way, too. The marvel that Jesus would spend time with tax collectors, sinners. Well, that's the scene we've got here. He sees a tax collector named Levi. Levi's got two names. He refers to himself in Matthew's gospel as Matthew. Like a lot of the biblical characters, they had two different names. So when you hear Levi, think Matthew. When you hear Matthew, think Levi. And notice, verse 27, he was sitting in the tax office, and Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Jesus sought out a tax collector. That's who he's looking for. And he says, "Come, come to me, join me, follow me." He came to seek and to save the poor, the blind, the oppressed, the broken, sinners.
You've been listening to Downtown Bible Class with Pastor Scott Gilchrist. Please stay with us. Pastor Scott will return in just a moment with a preview of our next broadcast. Today's program was titled, "Dr. Jesus Makes a House Call," a message from the fifth chapter of Luke's Gospel. If you missed a portion of the message heard on the program today, or you'd like to share it with a friend, head on over to downtownbible.org. A free copy of today's entire message is available there for you to stream or download at your convenience. Something we've been making available as a thank you gift to our listeners are USB flash drives loaded with Bible teaching series in their entirety. So currently, we're offering the recently completed entire book of Hebrews. That's 80 full-length messages, over 50 hours of clear, Christ-centered Bible teaching on this important book in the New Testament. We'd like to make these teachings available to you, our listeners. Just make your request, along with your gift of any size, to the ministry of Downtown Bible. You can do that during regular business hours by calling 503-524-7000 or by mail at P.O. Box 19191, Portland, Oregon, 97280. You can also simply click on Contact Us at downtownbible.org anytime. We'd love to put one of these valuable resources in your hands. Now, before we end our time today, let's go to Pastor Scott for a preview of our next broadcast.
When we really own who we are. Romans 5 says we're helpless, we're ungodly, we're sinners, we're enemies of God. Oh, I'm not an enemy of God, you say. Take God's word for it. Go low with him. Don't be in that crowd that ended up taking him out and trying to shove him over a cliff because he said, I came for broken people. We're not broken people. Who do you make yourself out to be? We know you were born right here in this hometown of ours. That kind of attitude to the Lord of glory will not receive his grace. And I beg of you today to repent and take your place as a sinner. Jesus' words are so beautiful. Verse 31, it is not those who are well who need a physician, but those who are sick.
Join us again next time as we continue in Luke chapter 5. Pastor Scott brings part 2 of the message titled, Dr. Jesus Makes a House Call. Until then, may the grace of the Lord Jesus be with you.